Who needs God in their marriage this morning? Let's open up our hands. Rory taught us to open up our hands. Father God, you are the giver of incredible gifts. Words of man can help and words of man can encourage, but you alone can heal. And I pray, Father God, as we stretch out our hands to you, won't you fill us with zeal for our marriages again? Won't you bring forgiveness and restoration this morning again in Jesus' name? Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are faithful. You are faithful. You put people together. And we ask that we won't have good marriages, but we'll have flourishing marriages in Jesus' name that'll give you glory. Amen. Amen. Friends, oh, it is so good to be with you this morning.
Yes.
Sure. I tell you, it's been like Clint said, 4 months of in Alpha, and we've spent about 5 weeks on the Holy Spirit. And how amazing was that, friends? How amazing to get to know the person of the Holy Spirit a bit better. And I want to remind us that, Rory just taught us how to open up our hands. And Stephen taught us be filled and be filled and be filled and be filled every day with the Holy Spirit. And Christian, he taught us, remember the story of the tripod? You need God the Father, you need God the Son, you need God the Holy Spirit. If you don't have any of those, or you don't understand those, or they're not functioning in your life, our lives go out of plumb. Guys, we had incredible teaching. Let's show our appreciation. Steve, Rory, Christian, absolutely outstanding. Absolutely outstanding. Friends, I think we have got the privilege of sitting under preaching of these men week after week, and God's using them in our lives. Thank you, guys. It's absolutely magnificent. Do you know we've seen during this time, we've seen some of the manifestation of the Spirit. Some was filled with the Holy Spirit. There were salvations. There were baptisms this morning. How's the baptisms this morning again, eh? I mean, you've got Jenny getting baptized, and you've got Giovanni getting baptized. I had the privilege. Where are you, buddy? I had the privilege. There you go. I had the privilege of meeting him this morning for the first time. So God saves. Whether you're a Jenny or whether you're a Giovanni, God saves you. And when Jesus does something in your heart, what did Jesus do? He went through the waters of baptism. That's why we get baptized. Jesus did it, let's do it. I want to be more like Jesus. Sure. Friends, we had all those things. But this morning, what I want to focus on, basically for the next 20, 25 minutes or so, is the Holy Spirit on Monday. The Holy Spirit's here. Friends, there's faith in the house. There's faith here this morning. I believe the Holy Spirit is here. But you know what? The Holy Spirit is here on Monday. And He's there on Tuesday and on Wednesday, right through to Saturday and Sunday. So I want to speak a little bit from another angle this morning. Our foundation scripture this morning that we're going to build everything on. If you've got your Bibles with you, you can open up to Ephesians 5 verse 18. Otherwise, you're welcome just to follow on the screen. I'm reading from the NIV. And this is a scripture that Stephen so beautifully explained to us. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. That is with the Holy Spirit, friends. You know what this text says? If we get drunk on wine, it's temporary, but it consumes us. It affects my walking. It affects my talking. It affects the way I see. It affects the way I think. It affects my reactions. It consumes me. And the Bible says, don't get drunk on wine that does that temporary. Get filled with the Holy Spirit that does that permanently. Get filled and get filled and get filled. You know what? Wine makes us crooked, but the Holy Spirit makes us stand up straight. Wine brings disorder, but the Holy Spirit brings order. Wine leaves us ashamed, but the Holy Spirit brings us out of that. And he says, you're a son. You're a son. Sure. Do not get drunk with wine. Be filled. And this is what Stephen taught us. He said that be filled is the present continuous tense. Be filled and be filled and be filled and be filled. So Monday, Tuesday, tonight, tomorrow morning, when I eat my breakfast and I pray and I thank God for what's on the table, Holy Spirit, just come. Fill us. Okay. Friends, it is vitally important to understand this. It is important to understand that the Holy Spirit that was there right in the beginning of creation, before even Genesis 1, he was hovering over the earth. He's the same Holy Spirit that was in the Old Testament, the same Holy Spirit that came over Mary and Jesus was born, the same Holy Spirit through the New Testament, and the same Holy Spirit right in Revelations. And he'll be there for eternity. And you know what, friends? He is the same Holy Spirit here today in our midst. And he's the same Holy Spirit on Monday. The same Holy Spirit. I'm going to draw our attention, friends, to the Old Testament this morning. I think we read a lot about the Holy Spirit in the New Testament up to now, eh? I think we're going to look a little bit. Because he's the same Holy Spirit, we can look at him in the Old Testament. Amen? Amen. So we're going to look at three people where the Holy Spirit came on three people for a specific task at a specific time for a specific purpose. And I pray that you will open up your heart. If you're a musician here this morning, I pray that the Holy Spirit will quicken something within your heart again, that you would start writing songs. Mari, I pray that the Holy Spirit will quicken in your heart again, that when you start drawing and doing your artwork, the thoughts of the Holy Spirit will just come and work through you. I pray that when you're a teacher and you look at children, and they battle to understand what you're teaching, that the Holy Spirit will give you a new way of teaching so that they can grasp it and the lights can go on. It can happen, friends. That's what the Holy Spirit does. The first person we're going to look at this morning, we go right back to the book of Exodus. Exodus 31, verse 1 to 6. You can turn there. Now, Moses was building the temple, he had to build a temple, and he was looking for a designer. And he probably asked God who was the best designers up to now, etc. But God said to him, no, I've chosen a young man. I've chosen a young man. And let's read, friends, from verse 1. Exodus 31 from verse 1. Then the Lord said to Moses, see, I have chosen Bezalel, son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. And I have done what? I have filled him with the Spirit of God. I have filled him, friends. Commentators tells us that he must have been over 13 years old, maybe for the responsibility that he has to carry. Some guys say between 18 and 21 years old. But the crux is, doesn't matter what his age, the Holy Spirit came on him. He was filled with the Spirit. You know what? This is the first time we read of somebody being filled with the Spirit in Exodus. Filled with the Holy Spirit, not a prophet, not a pastor, not a life group leader. No, artistic guy, a guy that draws, an architect, a designer. The Holy Spirit came on him. And then what happened? It says, with wisdom and understanding, with knowledge, and with all kinds of skills to make artistic design work in gold, silver, bronze, to cut and set stones, to work in wood, and to engage in all kinds of crafts. Moreover, I have appointed Aholiab, son of Ahisamach, of the tribe of Dan, to help him. And here, chapter 35, verse 34. And he has given both, that is Bezalel and Aholiab, the son of Ahisamach, of the tribe of Dan, the ability to teach. What do we see there, friends? When the Holy Spirit came on him in the Old Testament, we read of the gifts of the Spirit, 1 Corinthians 12. immediately the gifts start to operate. Friends, we read of wisdom. We read of understanding. We read of knowledge. We read of all kinds of skills. We read of ability to teach. Immediately, the same Holy Spirit, friends, right in the book of Exodus. And we think it's just in 1 Corinthians or in the New Testament. No way. God's teaching us something else. This was a man on a Monday doing his work and the Holy Spirit came on him. And the gifts flowed. Wow, friends. He didn't go to a service and was prayed for just behind his desk. On a Monday morning, the Holy Spirit filled him and the gifts flowed. Wow. Sure, friends. If you're a teacher here this morning, God can teach you a new way how to teach. A new way. If you're an artist, God can... Marissa, where's Marissa? Where's... God's giving you new songs. Now, as we speak, God's putting a new song in your heart. He's going to tell you what to write, and he's going to tell you the notes, and he's going to tell you the tone, and it's going to be a song that blesses this nation. It's going to bless this nation. The Holy Spirit will come on you. Your hand will write and write and write, and the songs will flow from your pen, and you will stand astound till we will be reached through your songs. Your songs will be sung all over the world. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. God's presence are here, friends. God's presence are here. He gives the Holy Spirit on a Monday, not only on a Sunday. Sure, Rua, is Rua here? If she's not here, Rua, God is going to give you new ways to dance. New ways to dance. There'll be students that's going to follow you, and you're going to lead people in dancing unto the Lord like never before. In this church, students will dance like never before to the Lord through what God is going to do in your heart. He's going to revive something new. It's not of you. It is God. It's like that little ballerina box that you open. If you open it up, a turn, and everybody laughs and smiles and there's joy. That's what will happen in this place. Harness that. Harness that. What gifts have God given you, friends? What gifts have God given you? You know the story, but I have to tell it again. You know the story. Young man, 25 years old when I met him the first time, 26 years old when he started designing this building, 28 years old when we start building this building, 29 years old when this building was finished, and when we got occupation certification on the 30th of June, in 2021, on the exact same day, that young man, Ferdy Legrandsie, got his suck-up registration. He had an 80 million rand building designed, built, and signed off, and occupied before he had his registration as an architect, friends. That is a miracle. Why do I mention it? To lift Ferdy up? No. It says, let they see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven, friends. That's why we got to hear the story. Forget Ferdy. Forget all. The Holy Spirit came on a young man. And that's why we glorify God this morning. We're in this facility because the Spirit came on a man. I asked him one day, I said, Ferds, where did you get the plans? Because all we gave him, friends, all we gave him, we said to him, Ferdy, from that point to that point, from this point to that point, that's how big it needs to be. We gave him nothing else, friends. And I said, Ferds, how did it happen? He said, Eugene, I was praying, and it just fell in my lap. I tell you, that is Jesus, friends. That is the work of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Did he work hard? Absolutely. I've never seen a young man work through the night like that man did. Did God give him help? Absolutely. Tara helped him, and Michael helped him, and Lynn helped him, and our engineering team and our builders, everybody helped. But the Spirit of God came onto one young man that designed this facility, and we get to glorify Jesus in it today. What does God want to do on your Monday, friends? Whether you're more artistically inclined, God want to use you on a Monday, on a Tuesday, on a Friday, on a Saturday at the rugby, God want to use you. Your gifts, your abilities. John, I so love it. Serving coffee. I tell you, I wait for the day that you're handing a cup of coffee to somebody and they get filled with Holy Spirit and with new courage in their hearts, because a man that's filled with the Spirit gave a cup of coffee. Sure. No, friends. Okay, first man. Second man I'm going to look at is more a farmer kind of guy, a military kind of guy, a guy that maybe run projects. A guy like, you know, the one and only Rob Owen, and project champion. And this was also a young man. And God called him. And we can turn to Judges. Judges 6, verse 14, friends. We're going to read together. So the Israelites were overrun by the Midianites, and they were in serious trouble. Serious trouble. And it says the angel of the Lord came to this young man named Gideon. Verse 14 says this: the Lord turned to him, that's to Gideon, and said, "Go in the strength you have and save Israel out of the Midian's hand. Am I not sending you?" "Pardon me, my Lord," Gideon asked. How many of you feel like, "Pardon me, my Lord"? "No, I've got this big sale, Lord, but sheesh, pardon me, Lord. I've got this task. No, pardon me, Lord." Sure. Gideon asked, "But how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my family." Verse 34. Everything changed. Thank you, Jesus, for verse 34. Thank you, Lord, for verse 34. Then the Spirit of the Lord, let's read it together. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon, and he blew a trumpet, summoning the Abiezrites to follow him. The Spirit of the Lord came on him, and immediately there was action. Not, "Pardon me, Lord, just give me a trumpet." And he blew the trumpet, and you know the story, friends. You know what? 32,000 men came. Do you know how many Amalekites there were? Go and read the story. The Bible says they were encamped in this valley, and the Israelites were on this hill. And they say when you look down the valley, it looked like a swarms, like swarms and swarms and swarms of locusts. They say their camels could not be counted. It was as many as the sand of the seashore. Do you get the picture, friends? And yes, Gideon, God sends him 32,000 men. You say, "Thank you, Lord, I've got 32,000 men. Look at what I have to fight." And God says to him, "Okay, you actually want the glory, but the glory is mine. Nobody will take the glory for what is about to happen. I will take the glory. So just ask the men who are scared." And 22,000 people put up their hands. And he said, "What?" And Lord said, "Send them home." Jeez, Lord. "Pardon me." Bye-bye. 10,000 men stayed, friends. And he said, "Well, at least I've got 10,000. And God says, "No, take them to go and drink water. And those that that's lapping up water like dogs, they are the only guys you take with you." Who laps up water like a dog? I think they went on their knees. Crazy. Nobody's drinking like that. But there were 300 men that did. And God said, "Those are the men." And friends, God gave him a strategy. He divided them into three groups, 100, 100, 100. And he gave them trumpets. And he gave them empty jars. And he gave them something in their hands, which was not a sword. And he says, now you go. And God gave me a strategy. And he said, just watch me. At my timing, when I start blowing, and you break those jars, and God will give this place in our hands. Friends, and we know what happened. When they start doing that, the Midianites turned against each other. There was chaos, and God got the victory with 300 men against people that is as many as locusts and as camels, that is as much as the sand of the seashore. 300 men, friends. No man can take the glory for it. But God gave him the plan. God gave him the strategy. And he followed through when the Holy Spirit came on him. What is God saying? Are you an engineer here? Do you have to design the next building, big building, the next state building? Do you have to design just the ordinary house? And you don't know, you've got this difficult client. You're an engineer, and all the specs and this high-rise building, just ask the Holy Spirit and he'll give you what you need. He'll give you knowledge. He'll give you understanding. If you need to plan a project, God will help you. If you're a doctor and you have to do a difficult operation, he'll help you. If you're a surgeon, he'll help you. If you're an ophthalmologist, he'll help you. If you're a business guy, he'll help you. If you're John Postmas, he'll help you. He'll help you, friends. All we need to ask to do is ask. So whether we're artistic like Bezalel, or whether we're more little bit more structured or strategic like Gideon, God can help us. I want to tell you a quick story. I was involved in a project of billions of rands, and it required that we employ a warehouse manager, but with bond store experience in Walvis Bay. And I prayed, and I heard the name Joe van Eerden. And I said, Lord, you've got to show me. You've got to show me if this is the man. And Wendy and I got invited to a 21st birthday party, and we were there early, and they said, no, we wait. There's still guests coming. And we waited, and eventually the two guests that was missing arrives was Joe van Eerden and Elena van Eerden, 67 years old, friends. He had a space right next to me, two seats right next to me, eh, lovey? Two seats right next to me. And at that moment, God said, this is the man. And I said, Lord, but I'm looking for a man. This project's 4 years. It's a massive responsibility. I'm looking for a man of zeal. 65 is normally retirement age. And God said, this is the man. And I remember at that table leaning over and I'm saying to him, Joe, are we going to do this together? And he said to me, Eugene, who are you? You know, my son is younger. I can help my son. I said to him, no, Joe. God said, you. You are the man. And you know what, friends? We made the appointment. Joe van Eerden was 71 years old when that project ended. And 6 months before that project ended, he got headhunted. I had to fight to hang on to him for 6 months. I literally did. I left Walvis Bay long after that. He still continued. The thing is this, friends. One morning, within that first week of him arriving at work, I go to the warehouse just before 5 o'clock in the morning, as I usually did, to go and pray. And as I arrived there, when Joe was sitting behind his desk with his Bible open and he's busy reading. And I walk in, I say, Joe, what are you doing? He says, Eugene, if we're going to receive the materials for this project from all over the world, we're going to need a plan from Jesus to run this. I said to him, Joe, what do you mean? He says, we got to receive everything from all over the world, pack it on a vessel and send it to one of the most remote islands on the face of this planet. And if we late, everything is late. I said to him, Joe, what are you reading? He says, John 1. I thought, what the heck can you learn out of John 1 with regards to logistics? And I went and I sat with him. I'll never forget to him. Joe took my hands He said, let's read it together. And we read John 1. And we realized that Jesus Christ was not confined by time and space when he was with God the Father. But when he came to earth, he became flesh. And he was immediately like you and I, confined by time, 24 hours a day, and confined by space. I can just be here at this moment. And Jesus made the most of his time. Jesus made the most of his space. And he followed the will of the Father, and he changed the world, friends. He changed the world. And Joe said to me, you know how we're going to run this project? From this part of the project, I said to him, no, Joe, how? He says, we're going to manage time, we're going to manage space. Friends, I've got a letter from Basil Reed, the company that I worked for, to say out of 80,000 tons of cargo that went through Walvis Bay, you've lost one pair of safety boots. Yeah. One pair of safety boots, friend, 80,000 tons. We can glory in the 80,000 tons once and say Eugene was absolutely superb. No, friends, the Holy Spirit came on a 67-year-old man and told him to manage time and manage space. What is God telling you? What is God telling you? Sure, friends, whether you're young, whether you're old, whether you're rich, whether you're poor, whether you're educated or uneducated, whether you're black or white, it doesn't matter. What's God saying? Just get to your desk in the morning, open God's word and say to him, Father God, tell me what I need for today. He'll give it to you, friends. That's the Holy Spirit of Monday. Yeah, that's the Holy Spirit. You might say this morning, Eugene, yes, I am more artistic or I am more strategic and I have got the plans, but it feels like something is keeping me tired. I can't release it, Eugene. There's something in me. I've got it, but if you're like me, I've got it here, but I battle to put it in words or I battle to put it on paper and I've got to work with it. But it feels like something's holding you. Thank God for the story of Samson. Judges 15 verse 14 says this, friends. And I'm drawing to a close. Now this was as the Philistines were running towards him and they were shouting, friends. I mean, we're sitting here. It's not time to think of a plan. The guys are coming. And Judges 15 verse 14 says this, the Spirit of the Lord, say the Spirit of the Lord. The Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon him. Say powerfully upon him. Powerfully upon him. The ropes on his arms became like, how do you say that? Like charred flax. And the bindings dropped from his hands. Friends, if you feel like something is binding you, just ask the Holy Spirit and he'll let it drop from your hands. He'll let it drop from your mind, friends. Sometimes you'll sit behind your desk and say, Holy Spirit, why don't I get it? Something is, just ask him. The first thing that I go to is, do I have to forgive someone? Says the Holy Spirit, when he comes, he'll convict us of sin. Is there something in my heart, Lord, that makes separation between you and I? You are always there. The problem is me. I battle to tap into you. What's preventing me from tapping into you? The Spirit of God was hovering, friends. He's hovering here this morning. In preparation for this preach, we have walked these aisles. We have prayed these aisles. And we've trusted Jesus to break through into people's lives this morning. For Monday, for Tuesday, for Wednesday, what is binding you, friends? If you feel like something is holding you, even in your marriage, I can't get breakthrough. Friends, yes, there is place for counseling. We have got some of the best psychologists and counselors in this very church, and there is a place for it. But if I go month after month after year after year after year, it becomes a crutch. It's time to let go and let the Holy Spirit set us free. We need to ask, friends, just ask the Holy Spirit and he'll give. Our foundation scripture, Ephesians 5, verse 18. Tomorrow morning when you wake up, remember this verse. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. In Jesus' name. Whether you are more artistically inclined like Bezalel, or more strategically inclined like Gideon, or just in need of power like Samson, just ask the Holy Spirit and He will fill you where you are with what you need to fulfill the task He's put right in front of you. In Jesus' name, amen.